WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Cheer Show.
We're going to pick up all our loose ends one of these days, folks. I know we said a lot of things we were going to do. We're going to talk about Arminianism, and we are. We're going to contrast that with Calvinism, which we already told you about. We're going to do all those things. Just keep listening to this show. We're going as the Spirit leads here. Remember Elizabeth's letter way back last week?
Yeah.
All right, listen to this. She says this, her second and most profound conclusion is that one of the most damaging and erroneous tenets of Christendom is that salvation is an offer or a sale, but it's presented as, here's the gracious gift of God. It's all yours in Jesus Christ. But it's really an offer or a sale, because if you don't believe in it, you're going to go to hell for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
But those in the Christian religion don't realize it's a contradiction. They can't hear themselves talk. They're saying one thing out of one side of their mouth. It's a gracious gift of God. And then they say only those who believe and confess in the right way are saved. And so how much of a gracious gift is it if I have to earn it with belief? Now, why are we going into these things in the first place? Because we are concerned for the image and the glory of God. God could defend himself if he wanted to, but he has appointed defenders. Did you know that the world laughs at the God of Christianity because they can see through the hypocrisy? They hear him say out of one side of their mouth, be saved by total grace, and then when they get in the church, they find out what they have to do in order to avoid eternal torment. And so the world laughs at God, and his character has been maligned, that God is a worse fiend than Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler killed people in the ovens. That would be swell compared to eternally tormenting them in fire. Not even Hitler could dream that one up. Wow, God has a more fiendish mind than Adolf Hitler. And so why would he ever come up with something like that? Well, it's in his vast love that he comes up with. The world mocks Christianity, and I have a feeling, now this might sound crazy, I don't think the world is mocking God. I think they're mocking the God that has been presented to them. The only God most of the world knows is the God that has been presented to them by the Christian religion. They look at that God and they say, he must be a total idiot if he can't do what he says he's going to do. He's so cruel that he's going to send somebody who never had the chance, quote unquote, to believe, to eternal torment forever. What kind of God is this? And they scramola. They don't want anything to do with the hypocrites in religion. And the religious people go, oh my gosh, why doesn't anyone listen to our radio programs? Why doesn't anyone watch our telecast? We must need more preaching. That's like Captain Smith saying we must need more icebergs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more they preach, the more people are turned away because they don't know what the gospel is. And as Elizabeth said, one of the most damaging tenets is to present the gospel, the good news, as a deal between you and Christ. You barter so much faith for so much salvation, and then whitewash it and present it as the lavish gift of God. Again, it's damaging to God's character. It's damaging to his name. It's damaging to the right belief. That's why we're on the air, because we are defending God's character. He is sane. He is a good God. What you are hearing from the Christian television shows and most of the Christian radio stations is wrong. God has a plan of salvation that he is methodically and purposely going toward. His means to that end might be ugly. He's doing some hard things in this life. We're not doing cartwheels over some of the things God does. We know that there's evil in the world, but we attribute it to God because we see the end of the matter. Why? Because we're geniuses or prophets? No, because we're bold enough. God's given us the faith to believe certain verses in Scripture that most of the Christian world has swept under the rug. Verses like Romans 11:36. All is out of God, through God, and into God. We believe that verse. We believe that as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:21. We believe that the one who condemned all is not as great as the one who justifies all, Jesus Christ. And we don't ignore these other verses that I ended the last show with. These verses that people say, well, what about the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25? What about the rich man and Lazarus? What about Jesus said, get rid of your hand and your eye or you're going to go into the fires of hell? What about the lake of fire? We have looked at every one of these passages in light of these other passages that talk about a greater God. It all fits, folks. It all fits with proper translation, proper context, seeing who is written to, what is written to who at what time. You have to be very, very careful. You can't just get your doctrine out of a fast food window at your church. You got to look into these things.
One other thing in connection with that, and since we have a lot of new listeners in Pittsburgh and in Nebraska and New Mexico, and I'm going to say this, that a lot of these things are going to be a closed book to you if you don't understand the proper apportionment of truth. In other words, I believe that the Bible is a closed book if you do not rightly divide it.
What do you mean by that?
In other words, if somebody does not make the distinctions that God makes in the Scriptures, the Bible's closed. If you do not rightly divide the word of truth, you either come to a passage of Scripture that you will either ignore or modify. And when you do not understand the proper dispensations, and in the English versions, most of them say the word dispensation, the Concordant version reads administrations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dispensation is not a bad word. Calvinism, Arminianism, yes, those aren't biblical words, but these are Bible words. But if you don't understand what God has been doing in his plans for the earth and heaven, and for instance, this thing about hellfire in the Gospels, people read that into today. The hellfire of Matthew, Gehenna, has nothing to do with anybody living today. This is referring to something that takes place in the millennial kingdom that you will be able to see outside the temple. Isaiah 66, where it talks about the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. All these preachers go to Mark chapter 9 and they quote that verse that the Lord quotes. The hellfire with the fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. But they never go back to Isaiah 66 and give you the context of that. It has to do with corpses. Corpses, bodies that are burning, not disembodied spirits in some underworld like Dante tells us about. If we get our philosophy and our Bible teaching from Dante, we are in a mess. Dante is not the Bible. Creeds are not the Bible. Plato is not the Bible. You see the difference? And so if we do not rightly divide the word of truth, we do not put things in their proper place, we will either ignore or modify Scripture. And that's why these Scriptures have been modified to teach eternal conscious torment, because they have not put those Scriptures in their right place, understanding what they mean. And listen, all these judgments in the Bible that are referenced are all earthly judgments. They all take place here on earth.
Not in heaven.
They don't take place in heaven or underneath the earth. All the judgments take place here, except for the great white throne.
I have to admit that I've never seen a corpse writhing in pain.
No.
Never.
Corpses don't feel anything.
No, and that's what is referred to. And, you know,
and it's shameful. It's a shameful thing. What was presented to the Israelites' view in this Gehenna of fire, and by the way, you know most of the references, all of them, are talked to those, to the disciples, this Gehenna?
Yeah.
Because it was something shameful. They were being warned about dishonoring Jehovah, or else they were to go through shame.
There are so many, as you're saying this and teaching this stuff, in my mind, there are so many people who have given up on God because they have heard the mainstream take on these verses, and they have just swallowed it, and they have assumed this stuff to be correct, and they haven't looked into it for themselves. And I hurt for those people that they thought that this is how God really is. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 2:24. He's speaking to the Jews there, and this is a heck of an accusation against the Jews. For because of you, the name of God is being blasphemed among the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Because of you.
Great.
Isn't
great
that,
point.
What a terrible thing that the very people who are supposed to be singing God's praises were actually causing the nations to stumble at
what
God.
What was Israel's role? They were the priesthood nation,
bring
and they
light.
Were to bring the light of the true and living God to the nations.
That's right.
And instead of that, the name of God was blasphemed among the nations. Now, let's bring that to today.
Yeah, let's.
We, as members of the body of Christ, are to bring the light of God to the world. and instead the name of God is blasphemed through the terrible doctrine.
It's dragged through the mud. He's a weak God who wants to save, but he can't, or else he refuses to save because he chooses some over others, and that's the end of the line.
Yeah.
It is, there are judgments, and this is no tiptoe through the tulips. We're not eliminating judgment. I hear that constantly. Don't you guys believe in the judgment of God? Don't you guys believe that? Yeah, what the heck happened at the cross of Christ? What about sin, man? God hates sin. Isn't that what Jesus died for? They act like Jesus Christ never came to take away the sin of the world. Here's my crazy belief. I'm a nut job. I believe that Jesus Christ successfully accomplished what he came to do, which is take away the sin of the world, John 1:29. That's why I'm a nutcase, because I believe that. And I have other verses that I do not sweep under the rug. The beauty about looking at the right translation is you look at all the scriptures. You don't brush a bunch of scriptures under your rug because you don't understand them. You look at every passage and you examine it, and it makes sense. I swear to you, it makes sense in the end. And God wants you to look at it. And we do too. We're not saying, hey, believe us. No, the more you examine it, the more you will see that it's true what we're telling you.
No, yeah. And the sooner you abandon your faith in the creeds, and you put your faith in the written revelation of God, the sooner you'll be delivered from the false teaching.
Yeah, you talked about handing, you talked about correctly cutting the word of truth.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that one of the worst things you can do to somebody is hand them a Bible and say, here, read the Bible. I mean,
it's very possible.
You know, because you could go, what did you start reading in Leviticus?
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
I gotta slaughter lambs and sheep and goats. What is this?
Yeah.
Oh no, that's what God wrote to Israel. You have a completely different
message. Or how
about
this? How about this? Somebody, you know, we hear the talk all the time. You need eternal life, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they go to Matthew 19, and it says that if you want to enter into, if you want eternal life, keep the commandments.
Yeah.
Hello.
What if somebody went to that? Oh my God,
oh,
I got to do the commandments. What are they? Give me the
life.
Commandments.
Nobody would do that today. No, I'm sure.
Some try. They're going nuts.
But then you come to the letters of Paul and you read that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. In one place you're told to keep the commandments. The emphasis is on you and your actions. In another place you're given the good news about the accomplishments of Christ. The emphasis is on Christ and his.
And Paul says justification
actions.
Comes apart from law.
Apart
a man
from
is
law.
Justified. Are you telling me that the Bible contradicts itself?
Only if you modify.
Only if you don't keep what Christ said to the Israel in its own compartment and what Paul said to the nations.
Yep.
These are different compartments.
The 12 apostles are for the 12 tribes of Israel, and the apostle Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. You cannot follow Christ today unless you follow Paul. Let me repeat it again. You cannot follow Christ today unless you follow Paul. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We should study it cover to cover, but our marching orders on what to do are found in the letters of the Apostle Paul. Study them, believe them, and put those into practice.
Those are the latest revelations given to man.
Yeah, prophecy is important. Prophecy is a great topic, but those are future events that have nothing to do with the body of Christ.
Folks, we want you to believe in God in spite of what the clergy tell you. God is good. God is sane. He is not the God of orthodoxy. Get out of the box and believe in the true God. We're going to be back here tomorrow. I thank all of you for listening. We're not...
What day is it today?
It can't be Friday.
Oh.
It is?
I think so.
We won't be back tomorrow.
Have a great
weekend.
I'm going
to come in anyway and do the show without you.
Bye.
Bye.